Good morning and welcome. We're so glad that you joined us for this message this morning. I'm excited to get into the Word with you and with all of you that are here today. You guys ready to get into this? Good. So this is the week of Thanksgiving, and I am supposed to teach a message that all pastors teach every year on being thankful. Well, I've been in ministry for over 20 years, and I'm sick of teaching that message the week before Thanksgiving. You can go back on YouTube, on our media page, and listen to that message from years gone by. Today, I'm going to talk about something different. Amen? Amen. So this week, you might get around some family that you haven't seen in a while. There might be some extended family that you haven't seen in a while. There might be some unsaved cousins at your grandma's house for Thanksgiving this week. Bottom line is, you might be around some unchurched people, what we would, super spiritual people would say, lost people. Which is what Jesus referred to people as lost if they didn't know the love and salvation that comes through knowing Jesus. Maybe you got born again this year. Maybe you weren't a Christian last year. Maybe there was a drinking game during Thanksgiving with you and the other cousins to every time Uncle Harold would say something inappropriate, you guys would take a shot, and by the end of the morning, you guys were totally wasted. So the thing is this, you might be a different person, and people might be asking, have you cut your hair? Did you color it? Did you lose a little weight? Did you gain a little weight? Like, something's different about you. And you are gonna have to be able to explain what's different about you this year. You're gonna share your faith in Jesus. You're gonna share the hope that you have and what God has done in your life. 1 Peter 3:15 says, instead, you must worship Christ as the Lord of your life. And if somebody asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. So if somebody asks you, what's different about you? Why do you have hope? Why do you have peace? Why do you have joy in such troubled times? You're like, listen, I am the bearer of hope. I am the bearer of good news into whatever room I walk into. The world needs hope, and I have an overflowing amount of Jesus hope on the inside of me. Which means you should be living your life different than you used to. You should be living your life in a way that people who haven't seen you in a while are like, something's different about you. We should look different. People should ask. And when they ask, we need to be able to explain the gospel. So today, we're gonna talk about what it means to lead people to Jesus, what it means to share our faith, what it means to win souls for Christ. Sharing the gospel with other people. Matthew chapter 28, this was Jesus's final instructions before leaving earth. He said, uncommon church, go make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Isn't it interesting that Jesus didn't say win souls? He said make disciples. So just talking to somebody about Jesus is really just step one. There's many other steps and layers to leading people to Christ and then discipling them to really know Christ. And isn't it also interesting that he said it in the command form? Go, exclamation point, not a suggestion. We are commanded, church, to make disciples. How good a job are we doing at making disciples? Because most Christians never share their faith. In my research, I found a Barna poll from 2019, 80% of those questioned of American regular church attenders have never led anybody to Christ. 80% of the church has never led anybody to Jesus. And out of those that were questioned, only 10% of American churchgoers said they had even talked to anybody about the gospel in the previous 30 days. So which leads to a few questions I want to ask and see if we can't answer. Number one, why don't we share our faith? Because we're too embarrassed. We're too embarrassed to share our faith. Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 says, I am not ashamed of the good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work that will save everyone who believes. Paul wrote this to a church that was half Jewish people that had put their faith in Jesus as the Messiah, and half Roman people that were pagans worshiping idols, but they had repented and put their faith in Jesus. So to both groups of people that were reading the letter to the Romans, taking a stand for Jesus as Lord was extremely unpopular, would have been extremely socially unacceptable to be a Jesus follower and believe that he was Savior. But yet Paul himself and was teaching the church in Rome, be bold, don't be ashamed. And some people are like, well, listen, I don't want to seem impolite. You know, Mama always said, when you're in a group, don't talk about politics and don't talk about religion. Listen, if you really believe in heaven and then you don't talk about it, you're basically telling people, I'm okay if you go to hell. And you won't, you're not gonna lead people out of a house if you don't think the house is on fire. Imagine you're in a house, any building. You're there with your loved ones. You're there with your friends. You're there with your extended family. You're there with total strangers. But you get a big whiff of smoke and you see flames, you're gonna be screaming and grabbing people and running for the doors because you wanna get them out to safety so they'll live. You're not gonna try to lead people to Jesus if you don't believe in heaven and you don't believe that there's a hell where they'll burn in forever. But if you actually believe in heaven and you actually believe in hell, you're gonna be dragging people from hell into heaven all every day. We live in very serious times, and I don't have time for people to be embarrassed about the gospel. This is your time to be bold for the gospel. Quite frankly, the Bible says that people will die and go to hell if they don't repent of their sin and put their faith in God. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 9. Don't you realize, church, that those who do wrong will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't fool yourself. Those who indulge in sexual sin, worship idols, commit adultery, male prostitutes, practice homosexuality, thieves, greedy people, drunks, abusive people, cheaters, none of these will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, is there any hope? Yeah, keep reading, verse 11. Some of you were once like that. Believe it or not, there were people in the Corinthian church that used to be sinners, but they were cleansed, they were made holy, they were made right with God because they called on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ by the Spirit of God. Think of it this way, somebody loved you enough to help you and drag you out of the burning house. Now it's our turn to do the same for others. Here's the number two reason why we don't share our faith. We don't want people to dislike us. You don't want people to dislike you. You want people to like you more than you want them to experience the love of God? Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, God blesses you. Oh, I want to be blessed by God. How? When people mock you, when people persecute you, when people lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you. Why would they do that? Because you're Jesus followers. They hated Jesus 2,000 years ago, and they hate the Jesus living on the inside of you today. When you get treated like that, verse 12, Jesus said, be happy about it. Be very glad, because a great reward awaits you in heaven. So if people dislike you for being a Christian and sharing your faith, you should be very happy about it. If the world likes you, you should be a little worried. And if people talk trash about you for being a Christian and sharing your faith, get excited. There's a great reward for you in heaven. And unfortunately, too many Christians are gonna get to heaven as if they're just escaping through the flames, but there will be no reward awaiting them because they wanted to be liked by the world so much. See, we have it all backwards in our mind. I want people to like me. No, listen, we share our faith because we love the world, not because we want the world to like us. Think of it this way. Who led you to Jesus? Maybe your parents or your grandma, maybe a youth pastor, maybe it was a coach or a friend. Don't you like the person that led you to Jesus? To truly love people, you're gonna share the love of God with them. Number three reason why we don't share our faith. I don't want to change somebody else's religion. Don't all roads lead to God? Okay. First, you have to believe that Jesus is the only way to know God and receive eternal life. No, all paths do not lead to God. Let me read you what Jesus said. John 14, 6. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Ain't nobody can come to the Father except through me, Jesus said. John chapter 8, verse 24, Jesus said, you will die in your sin unless you believe that I am who I claim to be. You will die in your sin. Repenting of our sin and making Jesus the Lord of our lives is the only way to heaven. Read the New Testament. Peter was leading religious Jews to faith in Jesus as their Messiah. Paul was traveling all over the Roman world, leading pagan worship, people worshiping idols and pagans to Jesus. as the only true God. Nowhere were the apostles cool with people worshiping anybody other than Jesus. Peter wasn't cool with people trying to become religious by keeping the Mosaic law. They had to repent of sin and put their faith in Jesus. Paul wasn't like, hey, if you want to worship Zeus, knock yourself out, just add a little Jesus to that. No, it was all Jesus all the time or nothing else. Number four, why don't we share our faith? Because we don't know enough about God stuff. We lack confidence. Dad joke, we lack Godfidence. That was funny in my head. We lack Godfidence. Listen, if somebody is drowning and they're about to go under the water, they will grab on to anything that is offered them. They're not gonna wait for a Coast Guard approved flotation device with the correct weight to buoyancy ratio. You don't have to wait to share your faith. What little you know right now is more than the world knows. You don't need a PhD in applied mathematics to know that 2 + 2 = 4. What little you know right now could make the difference between eternal life and eternal death for somebody. Plus, the Holy Spirit said he will give you things to say. We just have to be willing to open our mouth and speak. Now, let me give you a little time out. That being said, I'm not giving you an excuse to know nothing about the gospel. Most people don't share their faith because they don't even know what they believe. Oh, don't all roads lead to God? No, because we haven't studied the Bible. It's time to grow up, become a disciple, a disciplined, mature student of God. Remember the very first verse I read you from Peter. If somebody asks you about your hope as a believer, be ready to explain it. Meaning, you have to know what the Bible says about the gospel. You have to know what the Bible says about eternal life and eternal death. Let's transition. What does it mean to share our faith? We're sharing our faith. Listen, if you really love God, tell somebody. Yeah. Share God's love with them. I tell people all the time that the best burger in Dallas is at the Village Burger Bar on McKinney Avenue. Best burger hands down. Woo! I tell people that because it's the best. I tell people that Whataburger is better than McDonald's. Amen. Amen. I tell people what's the best. I'm trying to think of, I didn't set this up or prep it ahead of time. Second service, I'll have a third best. I tell you that the Washington football team is better than the Dallas Cowboys. See, I can't even say that without laughing. Because they are a dumpster fire. They don't even have a name right now. Just go team. I'm talking about sharing your faith. When you give to the Lord, you don't have less, you have more. And if you feel God's love and it blesses you, don't you think that other people would want to feel that as well? Don't you think hurting people and lonely people and anxious people would want to feel the love of God? We have an obligation to share our faith. And if you give it away, he's got plenty more. Only orphans and those with a poverty mindset hoard things and hold on to everything. Those who are rich in spirit, they're always giving generously because they know their father will provide more. See, orphans are holding on because they don't want another orphan to have more than they do. So here's the funny thing. Most people in the world, they know what John 3:16 says. It might be the only Bible verse they know, but they know John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only son, Jesus. When we don't share our faith with the world, we're saying God doesn't love you. He loves me, you not so much. Jesus loves you. Everybody else thinks you're a jerk. So sharing our faith is critical to the reproduction of the church, of the body of Christ. And sometimes I've stressed you out and you're like, oh, I have to share my faith. Listen, sometimes you don't have to share your faith. You simply need to plant a seed of faith. Yeah. The Apostle Paul said it this way in 1 Corinthians 3. He said, I planted a seed in your heart, but it was actually another teacher, a guy named Apollos. He's the one who watered it, but really it was the Lord who made it grow. Yeah. It's not important who does the planting and who does the watering. What's important is that God makes that seed grow. So when you talk to somebody about Jesus, not everybody is gonna fall on their knees and cry out to God. That's okay. You planted a seed of faith. Somebody else will water it. Somebody else will one day get to harvest it. But that means you need to continually share your faith, because you might get to a person who has had many seeds planted in their heart, the Holy Spirit's been watering those seeds, and they're ready for harvest, and you just have to be like, hey, Aunt Mary, I just want to talk to you about, yes, I'll repent of my sin and receive Jesus. Okay, I was just going to ask if you pass the potatoes, but let's do that instead. Sometimes you're going to plant a seed, sometimes you're going to water it, sometimes you're going to harvest, but we have to be willing to do what we've been called to do, to share our faith. So five quick things. How do you share your faith? Number one, take responsibility. This generation of Christian is responsible to reach this generation with the gospel. You are the mouthpiece of God that shares the love of Jesus with every room you walk into. And on Uncommon Church, every member is a minister. Don't wait for me to come to your Thanksgiving with your family and tell them about Jesus. That's what I'm doing now, is empowering you to do so. I'm not going to come to the water cooler at your work. I'm not going to come to the lunchroom at your school. I'm teaching you how to lead people to Jesus. Take responsibility as a soul winner. Number two, before you lead people to Christ, you got to pray. Pray. The Holy Spirit will soften the ground so that you can put a seed in there. You ever try to put a seed into hard ground? Pray beforehand. Ask God for opportunities to share. Ask God who you should share with. You might be in a lunchroom full of people, and the Holy Spirit has like one person, like there's a Holy Ghost halo, like go talk to them. So ask the Lord who you should share with. Ask the Lord to soften their heart. Ask the Lord to open their eyes to see Jesus as Lord. And don't just go to people that look like you, that have the same skin tone as you, that are the same religious background as you. You don't know what God is doing in revealing himself to other people. Number three. How do you share your faith? Tell your story. Just be a witness. What's God done in your life? Doesn't have to be your whole life story, your whole life's testimony. What's one thing that God has done in your life? I've told this story before. I was in a T-bone accident in Bedford. Oh, golly, it's been 7 or 8 years ago now. It was a minor thing. Nobody was hurt, but there were 3 or 4 cars all mangled up together off of hardwood. Somebody ran a red light, and we all just bumped into each other. So Bedford PD came, and there were 3 or 4 officers, and they were trying to separate everything. And it was just like, you know, if you've ever been in an accident, the cop says, won't you come over here and talk to me for a minute? And he separates all the drivers. He said, just tell me what you saw. And he just takes some notes of what I saw. I'm just explaining what happened. This happened before the light in the accident. This happened during. This happened after. All right, thanks. I was a witness to the accident. Just be a witness. What has God done in your life? What has he done in your heart? What has he done in your mind, in your marriage? Have you overcome an addiction? Do you have a peace and joy in your heart that you didn't used to have? Share your story. Number four, you should always give an invitation. Don't leave people hanging. Invite them. Hey, can I pray with you to make Jesus the Lord of your life? Can I lead you in that prayer? And if you're too chicken for that, or maybe you just felt to plant a seed, definitely invite them to church. Because you know that at the end of every message, I'm going to give people the opportunity to repent of sin and get right with Jesus. If you attend a U group, wouldn't that be a great place to invite people to your U group in a smaller setting in somebody's home so you can begin to encourage them, they can develop friendships and relationships? Remember, we're not called to just win souls, we're called to make disciples. So discipleship happens in smaller settings at home in our U groups. Number five, offer to pray for them. Hey, before we go, can I pray for you? And this is Texas. In Texas, people are going to be like, even if they're just being nice to you, be like, sure. I mean, if it was like New York, they'd be like, no, you can't pray for me, you freak. But in Texas, if you say, hey, can I pray for you? I just want to bless you. They'd be like, fine. Is there any pain in your body, any sickness I can pray for? I'm going to believe God for healing. If they're married, pray for their spouse. If they got kids, pray for their kids or their grandkids. That's where you touch their heart. Can I pray for you? Pray for peace. Pray for protection. Pray for wisdom. Pray for blessing. Pray for favor. And what you're doing is you're praying that God would reveal himself to them. Now, that's all how you share your faith. Let me give you the literal, practical, biblical tools of how to share your faith. There's a million Bible verses that will point to Jesus as Lord. But I'm going to give you 5, all from the book of Romans. If you're new to Jesus stuff, old school, super spiritual Christians, we call this the Romans Road. Bless God. And if you ever forget these five verses, just Google the Romans Road and it's gonna pop up with all these verses right here. The first verse is this, Romans 3:23. Everyone has sinned and fallen short of God's glorious standard. See, the standard is holiness, but ever since the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve have caused all of mankind to fall short of that. If you ever told one little white lie in the third grade, there is a weight of sin on your shoulders. So what do we do with that? Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. The free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. So any sin in our life, big sin, small sin, it doesn't matter. The payment, the price of that sin is death, which is why Jesus died for us. And all we have to do, we can pay that price for ourselves, or we can receive the gift that Jesus has already paid for our death with his death. The price has been paid. All we need to do is receive the gift that he has offered us. Romans 5:8, God showed his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us when we were still sinners. Even when we were sinners, long before we were born, Jesus loved you so much that he died on the cross for you. He was willing to allow his body to die so that we could live. Romans 10:9, if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord, and you believe it in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Because it's by believing in your heart that you're made right with God. It's by openly declaring your faith that you're saved. Why do you think every Sunday when I'm leading people in that prayer, I say this, if you believe this in your heart, pray it out loud, dear Jesus. Because if people really believe it in their heart and they pray it out loud, I am tricking people into getting born again. Because the key is faith. You want to make sure they believe it in their heart. When you're talking to people about Jesus, don't rush them. Take your time. People are literally going from death to life, from orphan to child, from sinner to saint. Don't rush the process. Make sure people understand what they're putting their faith in and who they're putting their faith in. I'm not stupid enough to do this like Jeff is, but if you were to jump out of an airplane, you would have to have 100% faith in your heart that that parachute's gonna open. You have to trust your life with that parachute. So when you're talking to people about Jesus, they have to be at a place where they're ready in their heart of hearts to trust Jesus with their lives. And the fifth verse is this, you can give people some assurance, Romans 10:13, everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus will be saved. If you believe it in your heart, if you repent of your sin, you ask Jesus to forgive you, if you ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life, if you receive that gift of salvation and eternal life, you will be saved from hell, saved from death, saved from sin. Five simple verses. Your homework is to memorize them. I want you to be an evangelist wherever you go. I want you to be a soul winner. Proverbs 11:30 says, "He who wins souls is wise." And the interesting thing is, fire will spread. Don't let it die with you. I wish I had an example where I had like candles and the whole worship team that like I could line them all up and have a lighter in my left hand. Boy, you guys missed your cue a little bit there. Hey, babe. How are you?
I'm good.
Okay, good. Why are you so far upstage? There's no good lighting upstage. There you go. So, how many people are on the earth right now? 7 or 8 billion? 7.5 billion, right? Here's all the people on earth. And 2,000 years ago, the disciples took the message of Jesus and they lit Albert's candle. And they were like, Al, go into all the world and make disciples. So Al loves Jordana so much that he tells her about God's love and his power, all that he's done in her life. And then Jordana loves Jeff so much. She's like, man, God loves you. If you repent of your sin and make him the Lord of your life. Jeff loves his wife so much that he wants her to go to heaven too. So he shares his faith with her. And then Danielle shares it with Anna. She's like, Anna, we want you to share this love and this faith. And then Anna is a selfish snot that never shares her faith. That's the end of the illustration. Juan and Lacey go to hell because we didn't share our faith. No, that's it. I want to end the illustration right there. This is the reason why we share our faith. This is why we do what we do. It's so that people don't die and go to hell. Yeah. It's so important that we receive his love and his forgiveness and his grace, and we're like, I gotta share this with somebody. And when we don't, it's possible that people die and go to hell. We have to take ownership of how important it is that we share our faith. And using the candle as an example, let's go back 2,000 years to Jesus' time. Before there was electricity, the only way to light a house was through candles. Jesus gives this example in Luke 11. He said, nobody's gonna light a lamp and then hide it. You're not gonna light a, and it's before electricity, remember, there's no light in the house. You're gonna bump your shin on the stone bed unless the light has been lit. But nobody's gonna light the candle and then hide it under a basket. That's ridiculous. The lamp is gonna be placed on a stand where the light can be seen by everybody. A hidden lamp serves no purpose. So let God's light shine from the inside of you, whatever room you walk into. And don't wait for the perfect opportunity to share your faith. If you've got God's light on the inside of you, that is the perfect opportunity to share the gospel. It's kind of like, I don't know, this is the right opportunity for chocolate. Every opportunity is the right opportunity for chocolate. Every opportunity you have is the right opportunity for Jesus to shine through your life. I imagine in my mind, you know, Jesus said, I've taught the church, go into all the world, preach the gospel, make disciples. I imagine in my mind, like heaven being like a balcony that's over the earth. And Jesus is just kind of standing there watching and encouraging and like, man, I hope they, and the angels come and they go up to Jesus and they're like, hey, boss, that's a great idea to tell them to take the gospel to other people. But just one question, what happens if they don't? Like, if that was plan A, what's plan B? And Jesus says, there is no plan B. You are God's plan A for sharing the gospel around the world. And it starts right in your own home. Hop up on your feet. Did that help you this morning? Good. So this Thursday for your Thanksgiving dinner, or maybe this Monday when you're trying to do a week's worth of work in 3 days, you have opportunities to share the light and love of God in every room you walk into. And not every opportunity needs to be where people just fall on their face and cry out to God. Sometimes you just need to deposit seeds of life, seeds of hope, seeds of peace, seeds of joy and faith in the Lord Jesus. You need to ask God to see the world through his eyes. Lord, when you look at my friends, when you look at my extended family, when you look at people at work, what do you see? And when you're in prayer in a moment, if you need to repent for not sharing your faith, for being disobedient to the call that God gave us to share our faith, then repent. Say, Lord, I'm so sorry. The fire has come to my heart and then stopped. Lord, I repent for not sharing my faith. And I ask that you'd give me new opportunities to share the great love of the gospel. I wanted to remind you of the power of the gospel from people's lives in our church just a few years ago. You heard a couple of months ago the testimony of Dwayne Winningham, a guy in our church who was not a believer, but Chrissy got born again and started taking their son to church, and Dwayne was like, you're an idiot. And he would cuss her out on Sunday mornings as she's driving to church. Now Dwayne's one of our head ushers because he's, you know what I'm saying, like what God has done in his life. Marlena shared the love of Christ with her sister who found freedom in Christ this year. Last week, Albert shared with our men that he was a prodigal. He was running from God the Father. But a few years ago, he turned and he ran back into the Father's arms of grace and love. Zane and Melanie Reeves were literally moments away from signing divorce papers when they repented before God and one another. And they now have one of the cutest, loviest marriages in our church. We're coming up on the 10-year anniversary of our church and when Josie and I got here. In my very first service, I gave a salvation altar call. And there was only like 30 or 40 people in the room. It wasn't like a huge crowd or anything. And a bald guy comes up and raises his hand and prays. And I go pray with a guy named John Pryor because he had been invited to church by his wife. And John gave his heart to Jesus 10 years ago. See, sometimes we lose sight that it's Jesus that transforms our life. And God loves us so much that he adopted us into his family. And if you're here this morning or you're watching online and your heart is beating out of your chest, it's like, I want to be a part of God's family. I want my sins to be removed. Today is your day of salvation. today is your day to follow in all the footsteps of the people's stories that I just told you, to make Jesus the Lord of your life, either for the first time or the first time in a long time. Maybe you knew the Lord as a young person. Maybe you knew the Lord as a child or a teenager, but you've wandered, you've walked away from God. It's time for you to return to the love of the Father. Stop running from God. So we're gonna pray that prayer that I do every single Sunday. It's a prayer of repentance. It's a prayer of dying to our sin and to ourselves. It's a prayer of declaration. We believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord. So we ask him to be the Lord of our lives, to come into our hearts, transform us. If that's you this morning, I'd like to know who I'm praying for. You'd be honest and say, preacher, pray for me. I'm not right with God. I need to get right with God, and today is my day of salvation. Now, this might be the first time you've prayed this prayer or the first time in a long time. I'd like to know who I'm praying for, though. If you'd be willing, just shoot your hand up real high and just say, preacher, pray for me. Today's my day of salvation. Is there anybody here this morning in the church? I see one over there. Is there anybody else? Come on, somebody. Are you watching at home online? Man, right there in your living room, I just want you to raise your hand and say, I got to get right with God today. For the sake of those online and for the sake of the one, can we all pray this prayer together? Just bow your head and close your eyes. If you believe it in your heart, say this with me out loud. Dear Jesus, I repent of my sin. I turn my life over to you. Forgive me, wash me, cleanse me of all unrighteousness. I receive the gift of your love and of eternal life. Jesus, be the Lord of my life. Be the Lord of my heart. Help me to share your love with others. Help me to be a beacon of hope in the community, to be a soul winner, to share my faith in every place I go. In Jesus' name, we say, church. Hey, for the sake of the one and for those watching online, man, I'm so proud of you. Golly, I'm proud of you.